Good morning. I'm going to give a short little testimony before I sing. You know, years ago, I came from a great Christian background, brought up in the church, and then I left to go to New York and did my first show in New York on Broadway. And the further I got in show business in New York, the further away I strayed from the Lord. And after a while, I got to the point that I was a top model for a modeling agency and I was doing a lot of shows. But the closer I got to success in the world, the further away I got from the Lord. And it got to a point that one time, the only time I went to church for several years was when I flew home from Alabama, from New York to Alabama. That's the only time I went to church. But you know, when I would get back home, I would see that church and it would remind me of where I'd come from and what I was missing. And there may be some of you today who have strayed away from the Lord, but you know, here's a perfect opportunity to come back to Jesus because he's waiting there for you. He's waiting there showing you how much he loves you. Now the song I'm about to sing, several years back, you remember the flooding waters, just flooding homes, rushing down the river, hundreds of homes. You saw that on CNN and Fox News. And I wrote this song called The Cross Began to Call. A month after I wrote it, it was a song that gives people hope in times of troubles and floods. Hurricane Ike hit, almost lost my house. All my neighbors' trees loved my yard and my fence. But you know, God brought me everything back. But this is a song about salvation here in the church and how the church is to edify the body of Christ. You can go ahead and start the song. But that Jesus is here for salvation. Every day, no matter where in town he went, he could see the little church upon the hill. The cross was a reminder of the time that he had spent as a boy inside the church upon the hill. Every night he would walk out of the bar, the lights upon the cross would catch his eye. And then one night he wondered how he'd come so far. And he looked up at the cross and then began to cry. And the cross began to call, "Come home, my son. Salvation's up the hill, just a short climb away. Keep moving toward the cross and your journey will be done in the church upon the hill. You're saved today." There came a storm, the clouds had blotted out the sun, and he tried to get his wife upon the phone. He rushed to save his family as the river's banks were overrun and the flooding waters rushed into their home. They started driving and they knew that hope was small. When they saw the bridge was out, all hope was gone. But through the darkness, a light began to shine on the cross, upon the church, upon the hill. And the cross began to call, "Come home, my son. Salvation's up the hill, just a short climb away. Keep moving toward the cross and your journey will be done in the church upon the hill. You're saved today. Just keep moving toward the cross and your journey will be done in the church upon the hill. In the church upon the hill. God bless you.
Thank you. Good to see you. Amen. Well, now you see why his songs have hit number one and been in the top of the charts. I don't know if he's got any of his CDs with him today, but he might have some available. You see him after, you don't? Well, get with him after service. He'll tell you how to get some. Amen. I have another, thank you, brother. We have another guest with us today. And Alan and Anush Bullock have been good friends of Lisa and I for a long time. Alan is the assistant to the president of Daystar Television Network. But that's not by far his greatest accomplishment. His greatest accomplishment was being able to talk Anush into marrying him. Amen. He's the only guy I know that's got two bachelor's degrees, working on a second master's degree, and a doctorate degree. I told him today, I said, I think you're the smartest guy in the world. He said, no, that would be my wife. Amen. But I want you to give a good Christian Life Center welcome this morning to Alan and Anush Bullock. Welcome them as they come. Amen.
Pastor, appreciate that. Thank you so very much. Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be back in this great church in Houston. I just want to say a big thank you to Pastor and Sister Rodriguez for allowing us to come back to this great church. We lived in Texas for about almost 10 years. I'm a true Southerner now. I'm fixing to do this. I am fixing to do that. How are y'all? And I have fallen in love with all this good food in Texas. I've gained about 10, 15 pounds. I have been praying, oh God, if you cannot make me thin, at least help my husband, my friends gain weight. Of course, it's not working. So I apologize for this broken English. English is my third language. I'm going to teach you three words in my first language, Armenian. The words are God bless you. The word God in my first language, Armenian, is Astavat. Very good. Blesses. Oshni. Very good. You is very easy. That is Kez. Astavat. Oshni. Kez. Everybody got A+. You are very good language students. Praise God. It's an honor to be back in this great church. November 14th, 1976, it's a very special date in my life. You see, I was 10 years old when I heard the gospel message through American missionaries, through local pastors. I asked God to come into my life, and I fell in love with God. I said, God, raise me up. Let me shake the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living in communist Russia and also living in Middle East, I was a part of the underground church in Russia. Underground did not mean it was under the ground. It just meant we did not have beautiful churches like this with nice carpet, nice lights, nice seats, nice air conditioning. During communism, I'm in Russia, underground church, we met in different homes every night to worship God. But on Sundays, they combined lots of groups together. We climbed the mountain on Sundays at 7 o'clock a.m. and our service was over at 4 o'clock p.m. Sunday was a day of prayer, fasting and worshiping God. As we climbed the mountain, everybody would pray. Then we heard sometime on Sundays, 10 preachers preach the gospel. Then we sang songs. Of course, we could not sing and play it as beautifully and skillfully as you all did here. But we made a joyful noise unto the Lord anyhow. Then at 4 o'clock, everybody broke the bread together and we shared what we had. Sometimes, of course, all we had was cucumber sandwich or tomato sandwich. And every time we go to a church, that's the reason in America, every time we go to a church, I check our rear view mirror in our car. I see no KGB, no secret police following us to the church. I said, thank you, Daddy God, million times for this great country, America. Don't you agree with that? Give their praise offering for this great free country, America. Every time we go to a church, the only distance we walk is like from the parking lot to the church building itself. I said, thank you, God. I don't have to walk kilometers after kilometers or miles after miles below zero weather, bundled up in a babushka hat, in a long fur jacket. I said, thank you many times, Daddy God. I was a part of the underground church, but my desire was burning in my heart. Someday grow up real fast, travel around the world, and share the love of Jesus. Since American missionaries had touched my life, my desire was, since I was a teenager, to marry when I grew up, to marry an American minister of the gospel, travel around the world, and tell about God. Of course, living in Russia, there were no American missionaries that lived in Russia. There were, and in Russia during communist time, there were three rows of barbed wire fence around the whole Soviet Union. Even the birds were not allowed to leave the country. The joke even said that. I said, but I serve a God that all things are possible. I said, God, you are the greatest matchmaker in the whole wide world. I said, God, please show my name, my address, my face to an American preacher. Let him come from America to Russia. Let him find me and marry me. And I promise you, all the glory and honor will go into your name. I prayed. The older I got, the harder I prayed. About 36 years ago, I was in our underground church in Russia. The room was so packed, you were not able to find a seat to sit down. Sometimes our young people would stand up like this on one leg to create another spot for coming and hearing the word of God. As we packed in like sardines, someone said, Anush, guess what? There is an American preacher, missionary, who is the guest speaker in our underground church tonight. I said, oh, goody, goody. I was so excited. Anyhow, this missionary evangelist, about 36 years ago, got up to speak. I was the only girl in that particular meeting who was a language student. I was studying in the university in Russia, in Soviet Union. One of the languages I studied was English. They asked me to get up and translate his message. Of course, whatever I understood, I translated his message. Whatever I did not understand, I meant my own preaching and preached for the missionary. At the end, this missionary evangelist asked me one question. He said, young sister, he said, what is the desire of your heart? I said, brother missionary, I said, the whole world knows about my desire. I told him what it was. He said, that is fantastic. He said, you want to marry an American minister, travel around the world, and share about God? I said, yes. He said, I have a brother-in-law who's a youth minister in California. He has been praying to marry a born-again on fire Christian girl, and God has showed him many times whom he should marry. I said, what's his name? He said, his name is Alan Bullock. The moment he said Alan Bullock, there was a wedding in my heart. I said, Alan Bullock, I don't know where Southern California is. I said, I don't know where it is, but I said, one day I'm gonna marry you. We're gonna travel around the world and brag what a mighty God we serve. It was 1976, November 14th, that miraculously, in a very miraculous way, Alan came to Russia. As far as we know, I'm the first girl from a former Soviet Union that ever married an American in Russia. God answered that prayer. We got married, and it was a miraculous story. That's the reason. I just want to encourage you. We serve a God that all things are possible with him. Trust in him. Talk to Daddy God. I know that God knows every name, every address, every person. And fall in love with Jesus Christ, because God will give the desire of your heart when it lines up with his perfect will. Now I'm going to introduce my wonderful husband. This year we are celebrating our 35 years old wedding anniversary, Alan Bullock.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. He deserves better than that. He deserves all of our all. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet and let's give the Lord a praise. Not for what he's done in our life, but what he's done in your life. Can I get a witness for the Lord this morning? Can I get a witness for God this morning? Lord, thank you. God, we praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God, in this place this morning. Thank you so much, Father, for the blessings, the goodness, the mercy. your grace, your kindness, your warmth, your love, your forgiveness, the blood, the cross, Calvary. You're a turnaround God. Lord, turn us around this morning. If we're facing the wrong direction, if we're going the wrong way, you are the way, you are the truth, and you're the only life worth living. And Jesus, many of us, before we became believers, were headed down a lonely, dead-end road, drugs, alcohol, whatever it was, just without you. Walking along in a corridor of emptiness and despair, hungry for something, not knowing what that something or someone was. You came along, Father, in all of our lives, some yesterday, some last week, some last year, some 5 years ago. And some of us like me, Father, you started 30-something years ago and you're not done yet. I'm a work in progress. Thank you that you haven't left us and you will not. Thank you that you love us and it grows stronger every day. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in times of darkness. Brother Keith, Lord, use the word hope. Our world needs hope. Our children need hope. Our grandkids need hope. Politicians need hope. Washington needs hope. We need it. We need to sense it, feel it, walk it, smell it, taste it, sing it, preach it, teach it, believe it. Oh God, infect us with hope. Indoctrinate us with hope. Let us think it, believe in it, trust in you, God. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Father. Holy Ghost of the living God, King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am. You are our Alpha. You are our Omega. You are the beginning. And Lord, you're the end. But thank you, Lord, from the beginning to the end, Lord, you haven't stopped working on us. You're sanding, chiseling, hammering, doing a work, Father, that only you can do. Would you just lift your hand right now, just a hand towards heaven, and just say, Lord, come into my life right now. Come into this church. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh and anew. Make me whole, Lord. Make me new. Make me fresh. Let the river of God, the fire of God, Lord, let it flow in my veins, in my mind, my spirit, and my soul. I need you, Lord. Could you just say that with me this morning? Lord, I need you this morning. I need you, Lord, to heal my body, to make my mind new and renewed in the spirit and the image of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that I believe without a shadow of a doubt this morning that something unique is going to happen the next 20 and 30 minutes. I believe that, Father. I believe that. Can you say that with me? Lord, I believe for miracles. I sense, and Lord, I can smell the aroma of a miracle in this church service. Jesus, wonderful and holy and most precious and honored name, the name above every name. Lord, we bow the knee of our hearts right now and say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus, and be King and Lord and Savior of everything that we do and say this morning. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what? You look a lot better than the last time I saw you. And you may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Sister, Pastor. And all of you folks that are here this morning, thank you for letting us come back this morning. We're just honored to be with you this morning and just sense the presence of God. Turn to your neighbor and give him a high five and say, I'm glad you're sitting next to me. Amen. Well, I'm not a salesman at all, but out in the foyer, we have books and tapes. Keith mentioned Hope. Pastor mentioned Hope. I try and write a book a year, and the book for this year is called Hope for the Journey. We travel around the world. We just got back from Africa and other parts of the world, and we just know that one of the things that we all need today is hope. Amen? And so there's a book out there called Hope for the Journey, other books and tapes and literature. We sat around at dinner last night at an Italian restaurant, had a great time, a fellowship, and so forth. And we were talking about pastor's got a great memory. His wife actually has a better memory than he does, but we have to give him credit, you know. And she was asking about tell us about the bear story in Alaska. So that's in our testimony, and we want to talk, read about bears and bear stories and those kinds of things. Kind of exciting. We live in the bush of Alaska. It's in one of those books out there, so in some of the tapes. So, all right, if you have your Bibles with you, please open up to the 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to talk to you about the Elijah generation. I had some notes, and last night I was praying and just seeking the Lord, and I wrote down a whole new message on top of these old notes. And so we'll see where the Lord goes with us this morning. But 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm reading from the New King James. I hope that's okay. I'm a new man of Christ Jesus, so I use the New King James. Can you say amen? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 reads in this manner. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." By the way, if you do a little geography search, you'll find that there were about 200 different streams or tributaries, as we call them in the bush of Alaska, or rivers that flowed into the Jordan River. And the brook Cherith is a very unique brook, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Of all the brooks, the streams that Elijah could have looked at or known about, God took him to the brook Cherith for his particular reason. Verse 4, "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened, we don't know how long a period of time that it took place between the time the ravens showed up and the time that they left, maybe for a different assignment or this assignment was over, but it happened after a while. And a while in the Bible can be a day, a month, a year, or 10 years. But after a while, that brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And you know the rest of the story, which I'm not going to preach, but from there, God told him to arise, and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And you remember that God commanded a widow to feed him there. It gets to Sidon, and it gets to there, Zarephath, and she is hungry and starving. She's going out to bake a last cake. Her and her son's going to eat it, and they're going to die. He sends her to her neighbors, and she gathers up enough crews or enough oil in her crews and enough oil in the vessels, and they live and have a great life. And the son dies, and Elijah comes and resurrects the boy from the dead, or at least he was near death. And it's a very, very unusual story. It is true, and I think that certainly everyone would agree, that we need to be like Jesus. Can you just shake your head at me this morning? But I don't think there's anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I believe it is biblical that we can also want to emulate and be like other people other than Christ. Christ first, the Holy Spirit, of course, and the Father God. But I believe that it is very reasonable for us theologically to think this morning that it is very possible to be like and want to be like other people from Genesis to Revelation. And all of us have our favorite Old Testament characters. I don't know what yours are. I know what my wife's favorite Old character is, and it's Joseph. Mine is David and Daniel, but I love Joseph as well. But of all the men of God that were unique in the Old Testament, that are still addressed and talked about in the New Testament, was the man Elijah. He is, if I can put it this way, a man that I would want to be like. And I'll get to that and the reasons for that in just a moment. First off, it's interesting that if you looked at the names for Elijah, Elijah has almost as many names spoken about in the Bible and Jewish history as almost Jesus himself. Jesus has about 144 names or 150 names that we know about in the Bible. Some say more, some say less. But also, Elijah the prophet also has about 40 or 50 names spoken about him in Scripture and in Jewish history. Let me just start by saying that if you were to look at the name Elijah, it is a combination of what they call the appellations or the terminologies of the name of God or Yahweh. It's two parts. His name ultimately means, you know, God's name means Elohim, or is one of his names is Elohim and then Yahweh. But the combination of those two names is Elijah's name. And if you couple those two combinations together, Elijah's name simply means Yahweh is strength, Yahweh is God, or God is salvation. And it's important to recognize this morning that when a mother named her child something in the Old Testament in Hebrew, they wanted, especially if they were believers in Jehovah, they wanted that child to live up to that name. And certainly, one of the earliest, if not the earliest, major prophets in the Old Testament was Elijah. And here we see the curtains unfold in our spiritual movie this morning. The curtains are pulled back and we see Israel and Judah divided. Israel is a northern nation, and Ahab, King Ahab, was the seventh king to rule over northern Israel. Now, Ahab is the second most evil tyrant in all of the Bible. As a matter of fact, in a few chapters before, when you read about Ahab, you read that God said in the Bible, the most evil ruler in the Old Testament was Ahab's father. Ahab inherits, if you would, spiritually speaking, his father's DNA. And Israel was being ruled by a terrible individual. And if that wasn't bad enough, you know who his wife was. His wife was that, they say she was a beautiful, we know that she was a Phoenician princess. And you know that because of her evil rule, her and Ahab killed the prophets of God and were terrible leaders in the nation of Israel. And it's interesting too that this Phoenician princess Jezebel, she has two meanings to her name. And oddly enough, it's like a paradox, if you would. On one side of the coin, Jezebel's name means woman who is chaste, a woman who is pure, a woman who should be pure or chaste. On the other side of that coin, her name means one who is a spokesperson for Baal. Now, Baal was one of the gods that they worshipped at the time of Elijah. And Baal, if you looked at him, if they brought Baal into this church room, you would see he is an idol shaped in the form of a bull. And he was the god of fertility. If you needed your crops and you needed children, well, you worship Baal. So Israel was a roller coaster spiritually, and they were down on the curve now. And God seemed to understand, as he always does, that when a nation or a person or a family is in the midst of crises, and God raises up a voice, he raises up a man, he raises up a woman, he raises up a church, he raises up a family, he raises up someone to speak on behalf of the kingdom of God. Israel now is spiritually undone. It's unkept. It's ungodly. They're not serving God. They're worshiping idols made by hands of all things, a bull, of god of fertility. And so God just sort of shoots Elijah out of a spiritual cannon, and he raises him up out of nowhere. We don't know. We know the areas from, but we have no, in Jewish history, we have no place that we can point to of even where he was born or his spiritual or natural DNA. He just seemed to appear out of nowhere when Israel needed somebody. As a matter of fact, when you study Jewish history today, you see, they believe that before the return of the Lord, that Elijah is going to come back. Malachi prophesied that the spirit of Elijah would come back to the earth. You see, Jewish theologians and Jewish historians today believe that the Spirit and Elijah will return in the last days to straighten out the theology between some of the liberal left in Israel and the freedom of the ones on the right. So Elijah is looked up to in Israel to this day. So we see something. about Elijah that's interesting. Not only his name, we can't chase his DNA back anywhere, but God raised him up as a godly voice. Let me ask you this morning, are you being a godly voice for the Lord to your neighbors and to your friends in the world in which we live? Elijah said to the ungodly ruler, he said, you know what? At my word, it's not going to rain. Elijah, when you and Jezebel wake up in the morning and you go out and look at your manicured gardens and you tell your slaves and your servants what to do, you walk out there where you used to see dew, it's going to be dry. And you're praying to Baal for your crops and your water. But I'm telling you that Baal's not God, that God is God. And I'm going to prove your God impotent. And he's not going to be able to answer your prayers because you're not serving Jehovah God. So he challenges Baal, he challenges Ahab, he challenges Jezebel, and he challenges their leadership. Remember that when you read the book of Revelation, and you go back and read it again, and you read the seven churches, one of them is a Thyatira. You see, Jezebel is a type of spirit in that church of fleshly and ungodly leadership. So she's prevalent throughout church, she's prevalent throughout governments around the world, and even in the day in which we live. So how does he challenge Baal? How does he challenge the ungodly leadership? Here's what he says. Listen carefully. He says that it's not going to rain. There's not going to be any dew at my word because, I'm paraphrasing, I've stood in the presence of Almighty God. What is it like to stand in God's presence? Well, we got a glimpse this morning. We can sense it. We can smell it. We can taste it. We can hear it. You see, when the presence of God is with us and among us, there's healing, there's restoration. Revival can break out. Come on, somebody. We can get healed. We can get restored. We can get renewed. Our children can get right with God. We can get right with God. People are elevated. People are called into ministry. People have been wondering what to do. God gives them wisdom. People are wondering if that's who I'm supposed to marry. God will give them a sign. People are wondering, should I sell this house and buy another house? In the presence of God, there's a manifold wisdom and power and instruction from heaven that comes down. What is it like to stand in the presence of God? Let me just share a few things with you. Here's what I'm seeing. I don't think it's much different than what Elijah felt. Number one, when I stand in the presence of God and we stand in God's presence, we have a recognition. We recognize that God is holy. Now listen to me, and we are not. You see, when the presence of God comes down, it's a presence of holiness. It's a presence of purity, and it causes us to have a passion for the things of God. Amen? And so I recognize that I need what God has. And one of the things I need is to be more pure. I need to be more passionate. I need to be more alive for the things of God. And so when the presence of God comes down, he lights my fire. Even though the wood may be wet, he has a way of rekindling what was a fire in my bosom. He has a way of rekindling the passion that I used to have when I first had my first love for God. Something else, I begin to reorganize my life in the presence of God. I realize that I need to reorganize my natural priorities to line up with my spiritual passion. Thirdly, I recognize that I realize something. I realize when the presence of God comes down and I stand in the presence of God that he's calling you and me to a higher level. He's calling us to a higher plane. He's calling us out of the world and calling us into the kingdom of God. He's calling us out of darkness into the light of his dear son. He's calling us out of failure into blessings of God. He's calling us out of darkness into the light. He's calling us out of doubt into faith. He's calling us out of the old lifestyle into a new lifestyle that is filled with the power and the blessings and the holiness and the goodness of Almighty God. I don't want to live in an ordinary life. I don't want to go to an ordinary church. I don't read an ordinary Bible. I don't serve an ordinary God. I don't serve an ordinary Jesus. He doesn't do ordinary miracles. The cross wasn't ordinary. The blood's not ordinary. We serve a super ordinary God that'll do super ordinary things in our life if we'll just stand in his presence and believe for God to do wonderful things. He can do far more abundantly than I can ask or think. God's my healer. He's my deliverer. He can set us free by the power of God this morning. All you've asked and all you can think about, more than you can ask, more than you can ever dream of, God can make our dreams come true. Can I get a witness for the Lord in God's house this morning? Something else happens when I stand in the presence of God, or I feel the Lord's presence. He rejuvenates me. He revitalizes everything in my life. Years and years ago, I was having some physical problems. It was called cancer in my colon. After that, I was diagnosed with a tumor in my brain sitting right next to my left ear. As far as I know, I don't know what's still there. God took the tumor, God took the colon out of my cancer, made my body whole and well, but I would get sick. And I didn't know what was wrong with me until I went to the doctor and got diagnosed. And the doctor said, well, you're going to have to take this body part out and this body part out. Now, listen, I believe in doctors. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for Advil. Can somebody say amen? I thank God for medicine. Thank God for nurses. Thank God for hospitals. But I thank God for the word of the living God. I thank God's a healer. Psalms 103:3, that my God can heal all my diseases and all my infirmities. Thank God for doctors, but thank God that for the blood. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb that flows today from Calvary's Hill that can heal our bodies, heal our minds, change our family, and get us on the right road to recovery. Something else that happens when I'm in the presence of God, or I sense it, I rejoice. We need hope. We need the laughter. We need the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Elijah, he's the man you remember that called down fire on two different troops of 50 and their captains, and the third one got smart. After the first two groups got turned to barbecue, they finally recognized that this is a man of God. The church today desperately needs the fire of Elijah, the fire of God, to be able to call down the fire of God upon the enemies of the church, upon the enemies of our families, upon the enemies of our finances, upon the enemies of our homes. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say, I need the fire of the Lord this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Elijah was the man that recognized the potential of doing something great in Elisha. And he drops his mantle off at this young prophet that would spend hours after hours after hours after hours of personal time with Elijah, the greatest prophet that ever lived up until that point. He dropped his mantle. This is the prophet of God that showed Elijah how to walk on dry ground. He walked up to the river Jordan and struck the Jordan River with his mantle, and the water, the Bible says, parted this way and that. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to somebody this morning that knows what I'm about to say. The church today needs the mantle of God, the mantle of Elijah, the mantle of Elisha. We need to be able to strike the circumstances with the mantle and the fire and the anointing and the glory of God, that things part and move aside this way and that for the children of God. I'm tired of pushing against the mountain. I'm tired of fighting for finances. I'm tired of fighting devils. I want to be able to say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the strong Son of God, be moved out of the way. Come on, somebody say amen. Elijah. His ministry was long and it was powerful. What a testimony about this church and about your pastors, that it could be said this church has a long, rich heritage in the things of God. And these are men and women of God, that this church has a heritage of not only longevity, but of the power and the anointing and the power of the living God. You see, when Moses led the people of Israel out of the promised land, they get to a geographic location about 100 or so miles before the promised land. And 2.5 tribes stopped. Most people, I don't know most, but many people believe that Israel, or all of Israel, all went into the promised land, but they did not. It's in the Bible. 2.5 tribes, 1/2 tribe of the tribe of Manasseh, they stopped. And the Bible says something like this, that they looked around and they turned to Moses and said, you know what? I like the way it looks, Pastor, right here. And you know what? They never entered the promised land. And you know what God did? Most people don't notice in the Bible. God put together a phrase that's in the Bible, and it's called the line of first good. The line of first good. You know why he brought that about? It's because he was saying to them and to us, a lot of people stop just short of the miracle or the blessing that God's about to do. We think, well, I only have so much money in the bank. I have this job. I make so much an hour. And we look at how God's going to move us and what God's going to do based upon what we see written in our checkbook. We do or believe God, have faith in God, based upon what I think my abilities are. None of those have anything to do or very little to do with what God will do with you and for you and through you. Can you say amen? God's criteria isn't based on your checkbook. It's not based on your where you're from or Bogota or Argentina or Miami or wherever. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on your heart. It's based on your spirit. It's based on your mind. It's based on you born again. It's based on you loving with God or not. The line of first good is where those people stopped and said, I'm satisfied. God, forgive us for being satisfied where we are. We want to go across the line of first good and get everything that God has for us. The step into significance, into becoming all that God wants you to be, always leads through the altar of sacrifice. He was a man with a message. He said, you know, Ahab accepted my words. Why was this important? Because the nation of Israel was an agriculture community. They lived and had their financial means, economic needs, because they were raising crops. For the prophet of God to come along and say there's not going to be any rain, it was like saying tomorrow morning there's not going to be any electricity in your house and no gasoline at the stations and your cars aren't going to run. You couldn't get by for very long, and they knew that. Elijah is a type of church, a New Testament church and a New Testament believer that is willing by the power of God, not on your own. We can't do this on our own strength, but greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Jesus Christ that gives me strength. Elijah is a type of church today. This is an Elijah kind of church. We're to call to be an Elijah generation to this world, to be able to say to all the demons in hell or whatever comes against our family and our home and our finances and our jobs, look, I serve God. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and him, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. God sends him to a brook. He sends him to Cherith. And why did he do that? Well, three things, and I'm going to close. Verse 2 and 3 says, the word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself. Hide yourself. Cherith. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why God used an unclean bird to feed a clean man? Send him to an unclean town with a clean message. Ravens were unclean. They're unclean to a man, a Jewish man. They're unclean. They're listed in the Old Testament as an unclean animal, an unclean bird. Why would God use an unclean bird to feed a man that was clean in his heart, a man of fire? Elijah is known as the man of passion for Israel, a man of great zealousness for the God, for his God. And God sends a squawky bird. Ravens are one of the most intelligent birds on the planet. They have a vocabulary of 50 to 100 words, more than a parrot. They're smarter than a chihuahua. Hate to break that to you. Just kidding. You know, there's a lot of things that we're going to touch in life that are unclean. Some of us have jobs, places where we wouldn't want to work. Normally, we're going to work. I don't want to work in a store where I have to sell cigarettes, for example. Forgive me for saying this. But sometimes we work places, we have to work. You know what? Let's be honest and let's be real in here. Let's come down off our spiritual side for a moment. So let's just be where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes we touch things that we normally wouldn't want to touch. God can use the most unusual people, the most unusual circumstances to feed us, to take care of us. I'm not promoting cigarettes, by the way. I don't like them, and I don't think we ought to smoke. Can somebody say amen? That's just me. Sorry. Okay? Don't get quiet on me now. All I'm saying to you is that Elijah could have said, oh, well, Lord, you know, I'm not going to go to church with that guy because he's unclean, or you know, he has purple hair, he has earrings, or she has, you know what I'm saying? God used something that Elijah probably would not have normally taken anything from. What I'm saying to you is this morning, God, his ways are above my ways. They're higher than my ways. He chooses to do things in a way that why should I question God? Can you say amen? So he gets fed. Why? Why did he send into the brook? Number one, Cherith means a place, listen to me now, of cutting away. That's the name. A place where things get cut away. Am I the only one in here this morning that I need to walk and to bathe and to swim in the brook Cherith every day of my life? Am I the only one that recognizes? I know that I'm not, that in my life there needs to be a cutting away of the flesh, a cutting away of the carnality, a cutting away of myself and my own motions and my own desires, my own me. You know, one of the things that happens to us in the presence of God is that when we really, really are surrounded by God, when we really know the Lord is near us and speaking to us and talking to us, one of the most wonderful things that God can do, which is contrary to that one side of us called the natural man. I don't know. I wish I could. My Spanish was better. I wish my English was better, but let me put it in this way. That one of the best things that God can do for any of us this morning is if we'll get in God's presence, if we'll, whether it's at an altar call or at home or in your car, you know what God wants to do? I see him doing it in the church today. He's ripping the no out of us. Let me say that another way. The thing that keeps me from being like Elijah, the thing that keeps me from being a man of fire, a man of God, a holy man, a passionate, zealous individual for God, where I'm walking in the newness of God, where my mind is renewed, where I'm rejuvenated, where I'm wanting to reorganize before the Spirit ever speaks to me. I don't have to wait for God to deal with me. I'm dealing with me before God deals with me. You know what I'm talking about? We allow God to rip the no out of us. The no. No God. Oh, we don't say it. We don't say no God. We wouldn't do that. But inside of us, inside my heart, inside my marriage, inside my home, inside of my spirit, there's a no in me. N-O, no, nada. Not today, God. Tomorrow. Oh, I want to do it, but I can't do it. I shouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. I want to put it off, God. I want to procrastinate. God comes along and rips the no out of me. I want to give up my marriage. God comes along and says, no. I want to give up on this, and God says, no. I want to quit the church, and God says, no. I don't want to have the relationship, and God says, no. I want to pray. God says, yes. God rips the no out of me. He's ripping the no out of me. He's taking the no out so that I can say yes. If there's a turmoil inside of Alan Bullitt, one minute I'm a no man, the next minute I'm yes man. Which man am I? James said something like, an unstable man. I don't want to be an unstable man. I want to be a stable man. Let me do a little play on words real quick. You know what a stable is? That's where Jesus was born. You see, some of us want to go way up to the top. I've been pretty high up in the top before in things. You know what I found when I get there? Not a whole lot. I found that I'm happiest when I'm in the stable where Jesus was born, just taking care of the animals. One of the greatest jobs I ever had my first year of Bible school was cleaning the cages of the animals at a veterinarian hospital. Did I want a church? Yes. Did I want faith? Yes. Did I want to preach? Yes. Did I want to travel? Yes. Did I want to sing? Yes. But God said, take care of the small things. Do things that nobody else is willing to do. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And God, in due season, will lift you up. And he will raise you up. And you can speak to the nations in ways you would never do it before. God ripped the no out of me. He's still doing it. You know, about the time I don't think there's anything left, God comes along and just rips it out. You know, I believe in closing that God is doing surgery on a lot of us this morning. He's doing surgery on us. He's doing spiritual surgery on me, on my family, on my life, on my thinking. Lord, take the no out of me. Lord, let me be a yes, sir. Let me be a yes person. Let me believe, be a person of faith. Let me be a person of confidence. Let me exude hope. Let me bring hope to a hopeless world. Let me bring life to a lifeless world right now. Come on, somebody. Come on, I can't change the economy except with my prayer. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have all those things a lot of people have. But there's something inside of every single one of you that nobody else has. God has deposited a spiritual deposit. You are a living, walking receptacle of the power of God. I don't have a lot of hair left. I tell people I was 6'2 and had hair before I became a youth pastor, and now I'm 5'6 with no hair. But what little hair I had, I combed it this morning. I used a blow dryer, a hair dryer in a hotel. It was unplugged. The only way I could get the air to come out was what? To plug it in. Some of you need to stand up, get up, and get ready, and get going and plug it in to the wall socket of heaven, and God will light you up like you've never been lit up before. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet and let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Our musicians are coming. I'm a real simple guy with simple altar calls. Here's how I do it. You need Jesus, you need to get down here. You can't make any plainer than that. If you need the Lord, look, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know who the Lord was. I was an atheist, a drinker, a drug user. I was a mess. I was a disaster. God came along one day and changed all that. God wants to change. He wants to do something inside of you this morning. I don't, Pastor, trust me, I know he does, and I never embarrass anyone, but I just sense someone over in this section this morning, this section right here. This section. There's a woman here this morning that needs a miracle from God. You need something to happen today. Something going on. You need God to put a letter in your mailbox. I want you to come, lady. Whoever, ma'am, if you would just come real quick. Just come up here real quick. Come on up here. Maybe somebody else. Come on if you would. We could talk about arthritis and bursitis and all the itises, teeth, hearing, whatever it is that you're facing this morning. Might be cancer, leukemia, I don't know what it is. Nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for God. There's a woman here that's caught in a cobweb. You've been there for a little while. You get free, and you seem to get drawn back to this cobweb again. This sort of this sticky thing in your life that you can't let, it doesn't want to let go of you. I want you to come real quick. There's a man here that you climb up the mountain of God. Come on, gals. Come on. That's you. Come. Come very quickly if you would. Come on. Let's pray. There's a man here. You get up on the mountain of God, you get knocked down. You get up, you get knocked down. You get up, you get knocked down. You get up, you get knocked down again. Where are you, sir? Just come real quick. Come on. Might be one more one of you. Come. Come real quick. Come if you would. Come. You went up the mountain of God. Others of you are just need Jesus. You just need Jesus. Listen to me. Come on. You just need Jesus. You just need more of Him. somebody right over here in this section right here. This section right here. You need Jesus this morning. Come on. You need the Lord in your life this morning. I want you to come. Come on. Come on. Come on. You need the Lord. Come on. You know who you are. Come right now. Come on. Man, woman, boy, girl, you need Jesus. Come on. Come on. You're right here. I don't know who you are. Come on. Come on. Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Just listen to the Lord. Come on. Follow God. Somebody step out with somebody. Come on. Come on, gal. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Come on. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on. I need Jesus. Somebody over here, I need Jesus. Come on. I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him. I need Jesus. Come on, somebody. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Somebody back over here. Back in this half a section right here. I need Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. I won't bite you. Come on. I need the Lord this morning. Somebody right here in this section. Come on. Come on. Follow me. Somebody come on. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, I'll walk up with you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. I know you're here. I need the Lord. Come on. I need Jesus in my life. Come on. Come on. I know you're here. There's a woman, there's a man in this section. Come on. Sir, ma'am, come. Come on. There's a brave gal. Come on. I need Jesus. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on. Where's that man? Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand. I need the Lord. I need Christ. I need Jesus. I want to serve God. I want to serve the Lord. Very quickly. Somebody here with back pain. You've had it for years. You're in an accident, back pain. Oh, everybody in here that's seen a chiropractor, come real quick. Everybody that's seen a chiropractor, come on up real quick. There's about half a dozen of you. Let God do an adjustment. Come on, let God do an adjustment. He can adjust your back. He can adjust your neck. Come on. Somebody else seen a chiropractor. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Somebody is shooting. You sort of, forgive for the term shooting, but you're using insulin. Come on, where are you? Several of you, you're taking insulin. Come on. Come up real quick. Somebody having eye problems, where are you? Now, I know our age, those things, but somebody's got problems with your eyes. Where are you? Come on, real quick. You, somebody else. Come on, you're having problems with your eyes. Where are you? Somebody else. Come on. Anybody else having problems with my eyes? Come on up. Again, age and those natural things. Amen. I'm looking for something, not just age. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Is there a man named John? Is there a John in here? I know a lot of Hispanics. Any other John? Are you John? Would you come up here, sir? All the Johns, come over here. If your name is John, come over here just a second, and we'll find out who we're looking for. Anybody else with the name of John? Amen. The young man that in the t-shirt, what's your last name? What do you do? Huh?
For Continental Airlines.
Okay. You married, you single? Married, your wife here? Where is she? Oh, right. You did good, brother. Amen. Amen. Can you come down? Amen. I think it's just the Lord wants to speak into lives for just a moment. Amen. Can I ask some prayer people real quick? We're going to pray. Amen. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I want to get you guys out and get where you need to go and all kinds of stuff, but we're only here every 5 years. Amen. So get real close. Get real close together. Amen. Can we just have a little, not real lively, but some worship? Can you just a little worship for a moment? Pastor, would you come down? Anybody else wants to come real quick? And we're going to pray. Who's got a bad knee? Somebody's got a bad knee in here. Whoa, bad knees everywhere. Anybody else? Somebody else over here. Bad knees. All the bad knees together. Kind of sounds terminal, doesn't it? You got a bad knee? Come on, come on. So anybody else got a bad knee? Cartridge problem. Jesus, 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 amen. They got in front of you, didn't they? They just walked right in front of you, didn't they? Come on, let's pray. Would you stretch out your hands? Prayer warriors, come on. Prayer team, come up. Come on, let's pray. Amen? Come on. I need about 20 guys. Amen? Hey, amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you, the past is over, new, you make all things new,
surrender with us, my life. Just lift your hands in this direction and pray with us.
I'm moving,
Lord,
I'm not
to
going
every
back,
heart, every soul.
Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Oh, said I'm moving forward. Oh,
this morning. Come on, give him a good one. Lord, listen, let's all pray together right now. I want us to take an offering for our guests, but before we do that right now, let's pray. Just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Lord, lead me in a path of righteousness for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now give him praise once again. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a good praise offering. Listen, ushers, as we continue to pray, ushers, I want you to pass out some offering envelopes. I want us to receive a special offering for Brother Allen and Anush, and I want to remind you that he's got some books and some materials out in the foyer. Make sure you visit that ministry table. I believe the ministry items that he has there will bless you. Also, tonight, someone say tonight. Say it again. Say tonight. Tonight at 6 p.m., I'm going to be sharing a powerful message called Field of Dreams. It'll be a blessing to you. Plan to be here if you can make it 6 p.m. tonight. But right now, I want us to receive an offering. Ushers, pass out the offering envelopes quickly. Let's pray over this offering. You can be seated. Let's pray over this offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Allen and Anush and their ministry. And Lord, for the powerful word that was brought forward today. Lord, right now, I ask that you'll bless this offering we're about to receive on their behalf. Let it minister to their needs. Let it provide every need that they have. And Lord, let this offering be instrumental in helping them to get the message preached throughout the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to prepare your offering. If you're writing a check, just write it to CLC. You can give with your check card or your debit card. If you're giving with your check card or debit card, make sure you put the expiration date and your phone number. And then ushers, if you would, pass out the offering buckets. And once again, if you're visiting with us today, if you filled out a care card, a visitor card, make sure to take time to drop that in the offering bucket along with your offering. Rick, help me quickly over here, if you would, pass out those offering buckets. We want to make sure and receive a special offering for our guests. How many of you enjoyed the ministry today? Amen. Let them know you appreciate them. Amen. Do your very best. Listen, don't forget, if you're out shopping and you see some Easter candy or some gifts that you can bring in for our Easter egg hunt on Easter Sunday, do that. We've only got one more week left before Easter Sunday where we can provide some items for the kiddos. Thank you for those that have already brought some items in. There was some more brought in today. It's going to be exciting. Make sure you invite your friends and family to come out on Easter Sunday. And, of course, be here tonight. Of course, midweek service Wednesday night at 7 p.m. After you've had an opportunity to give, after that offering bucket's passed you by, go ahead and stand with us once again, and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. And on behalf of Lisa and I want to thank you for being here today. We know you can choose to be anywhere, and we're glad that you chose to be with us. And listen, after the service this morning, we're going to be right outside those exit doors. If you'd like to come back and say hello, visit with us, we'd love to visit with you. And we'll stay as long as you will. Amen? Amen. And if you want to visit with Alan and Usha, they might be out by their product table, and you'll be able to meet with them there. It was a blessing having them. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that you've given us to come together in your name to lift up and magnify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, every day, let your word be hidden in our heart. Let it be a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Let us be a reflection of your love and your light to our generation. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now give the Lord a good